My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the five stages of healing from love addiction, what it looks like at each stage, what are some of the markers, what are some things that you can look forward to, because it is really important for you to know what your process is going to look like so that you can make sure that you're celebrating yourself as you go along. Also knowing that you are making progress, that you are not as stuck as you may think that you are, and also to be able to know what your roadblocks may be as you are coming through your healing journey. I created this myself based on my Healed and Loved Woman framework model. So if you have been a part of this podcast for the last couple of years, you've heard me teach on this a few times. So up until this point, I've talked about how the Healed and Loved Woman framework, which talks about the transformation that you get when you go from when you are healing from your intimacy disorders, which includes going from being love addicted to love balanced, love avoidant to love available, and feeling love deprived to feeling love nourished, and how distinctly that may happen between those three disorders. You can go ahead and find many episodes when I reteach those concepts a few times a year in the archives. However, even though I've talked about, you know, the trajectory is to go from being love addicted to love balance, I haven't talked about what those stages actually looks like. So I have been working in the background on fleshing out this model so that everyone who's in this process can, again, know where they are, know what their next steps are, and again, celebrate themselves. And I say celebrate again, I say it twice, because something I've learned by helping thousands of women at this point heal from love addiction and love avoidance and love deprivation as well, is that it's very easy, one, to be hard on yourself, and two, to really not be able to see where your growth is. And so, especially if you're trying to do this on your own, or even if you're in that, and you're just kind of averse to people saying positive things about you, it could be really hard for you to even say those positive things to yourself and to be able to receive them. And so it's really important for us to know that there's not some magic place in the finish line that we can say, okay, this is when I deserve to celebrate myself. This is when I deserve to be loved. This is when I can expect the pain to heal. Because if you do that, you will miss out on what is in front of you right now. You'll be more tempted to quit. You'll be more tempted to go back to unhealthy relationships and self-medicating. You will be more tempted to think that all of the really crazy, whacked out stuff that, you know, abusive caregivers and people who never deserved you in the past used to say to you, you're going to start to internalize that more because you think that these things are happening because there's something wrong with you, or because relationships are broken, or love is not available for you, or just there's pee in the dating pool or whatever it may be. And I want y'all to know that I really want to normalize this healing process and to let you know what these stages are. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And in addition to talking about these stages, I'm going to be taking a deeper dive into what this looks like, what these stages look like when you are trying to avoid being in unavailable partnerships and relationships, which includes friendships as well. What each one of these five stages will see and experience when they are working through these set of goals. And this is in celebration of the fact that next week I'm going to be hosting a live masterclass for free on April 23rd at 6:30 p.m. CST, that is titled How to Not Be Duped, Deceived, or Gaslit into Thinking That They Are the One, Four Tips for Love Addicts to Choose Better Partners. So in celebration of that, I thought there is no better topic to discuss this with and to bring it all together. And so I hope that you enjoy it, and let's go ahead and dig on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Attention to all my proud plant parents. It is time to give all of your plant babies the best nutrition you can, starting from the bottom up. And that starts with the best soil to help them grow happy, nourished, and strong. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that is approved for organic growing and has been sourced from ocean waters and farms for over 28 years. With a full range of products that support every garden and lawn, Coast of Maine products are made to restore roots to the natural world. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, by adding Coast of Maine products, it will help regenerate the healthy microbes in your soil and set you up for gardening success. And if you have a vegetable garden, not only do you benefit via an abundant harvest, but find that there is less need to maintain and feed throughout your season. Coast of Maine continually perfects the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by tons of local retail partners who can provide advice and insight that is not found in the big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community for gardeners everywhere, which is why I love how they make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com. So I just realized I didn't give the link to register for the masterclass. If you're interested, you can go to blackgirlsheal.org/masterclass and you can register and save your seat. And again, it's free at 6:30 p.m. on April 23rd. And I hope to see y'all there. I'll be talking more about the masterclass at the end, but we have a lot to cover today. So let's go ahead and jump on in. So like I said, this is the five stage or five phases that you will go through as you are healing from love addiction and love avoidance. I will be talking about this more for sure on social media, YouTube, and then also integrating it more when we talk about things here on the podcast. But the first level is level one or phase one titled The Stuck Woman. The Stuck Woman. So the stuck woman is deeply caught in her cycle of unavailable and unhealthy relationships and her own love avoidance, whether or not she's avoiding with herself or with others, or whether or not she's deeply into entrenched in her love addictive relationships. But she's stuck in this cycle of being in an impossible relationships. But the thing about the woman who is stuck that may be different than especially the earlier levels that are come after this, the woman that is stuck doesn't see her part in the problem by way of that she is taking less than what she deserves. She is still very much focused on what's called an external locus of control. So the problem is other people. If I can get other people to change, if I can get other people to be nicer, either by way of me appeasing them and people pleasing, by me convincing them, forcing them, threatening them, holding ransom on relationships, leaving and then coming back, playing a lot of games. The stuck woman is very focused on, once I get all the relationships around me and once I get everything else around me to change, then I'm going to feel better. Because she doesn't quite see that she, one, has the power to make herself feel better. And then two, she also doesn't want to see it. So if you talk to someone who's in the first level, in the stuck woman phase, she's the one who, you know, you're giving her advice and she tells you what's going on. And she looks like she's asking for advice. She might even ask you for advice. But once you start to tell her anything other than just go for what you want and go ahead and move forward in the relationship, or they're tripping and, you know, everything's going to work out for you, their eyes kind of glaze over because they have not gotten sick and tired of being sick and tired yet. And I think many of us can kind of relate to this. You know, in the moment, it may feel as if people are being judgmental or not really understanding what you're going through or picking on you. And so you can kind of dig more into what you believe to be right. And you want to dig more into holding onto this relationship and making it work because you're in love and, you know, other people just don't understand as you against the world. Or if you are love avoidant, by the way, all five of these stages work for all of the intimacy disorders. It's just the underlying concept of this is the problems that are going on. And I do not want to change. I don't think that there's an issue. I think other people are the issue. And once they change, then things are going to get better for me. So for the one person who might be more avoidant,
the way it may look is that other people are the problem. And once other people get right, then I may start to actually open up. But until then, I'm going to do me. I'm going to isolate. I'm going to cut people off. I'm going to have a very low threshold before anyone gets in, and I'm not apologizing for it. What happens with the stuck woman is she gets to a place, and this is irregardless of age. You know, someone can be stuck and then move to the next level and be in her 20s, or she can be in her 30s, 40s, or 50s. But she gets to a place where she realizes that her deepest desires, her trying to play this game, trying to over-control people, again, through being very over-attached and anxious with the relationships or pushing people away and cutting people off. At her core, she wants to be connected. She wants to be loved. She wants to feel seen. She wants to be adored. She wants to have all of those softer, more intimate, vulnerable connections. And the ways that she's been playing it, waiting for the right people or circumstances to come upon her, is not working. And so she starts to realize, okay, something has to shift and change. Something got to make something shake, right? And so that's when she graduates out from the stuck woman into level two, which is the awakened woman. So she's woken up, right? So level two, phase two, she knows that there is a problem, that she's still caught in this cycle. But she's aware that she is either an active participant in this. So either she is co-creating these issues with that's going on in her life. So instead of there being this, other people are doing this to me. Why are people so mean to me? Why can't I catch a break? And feeling very victimized in that. And then again, even though these are people that aren't really giving her what she wants, she keeps going back to it and trying to get them to change, trying to get the relationship to change. She's realizing, okay, these people are doing this, or they're not doing this for me. I'm feeling this kind of way. Maybe there is something else that I can do. Maybe I don't need to continue to take this. Maybe I can show up for myself differently. Maybe I can stand up for myself, but I'm for real this time. You know, someone who's a love addict who is in phase one, she very well will tell someone, I want more commitment, or I want to feel like a priority, or I want you to be more truthful, or I want you to be more available. She'll say those things, but there's no real teeth behind it. Because for her, the prize is proximity to this person. The awakened woman, the prize is for her to be treated better. And that's also more of the prize for the later stages as well. But for the stuck woman, as long as she still gets access to these people or to whatever she feels like is her sense of safety, if she's isolating and self-medicating and self-comforting, that proximity to her sense of whatever's going to make her feel safe is what she wants. And she, and it may look like she might say on the outside, well, it's because I want to feel better. But she thinks that the person or the situation or the isolation or the addictive behavior that she's self-medicating with and comforting with, she wants that more than the safety because she equates that with the safety. The awakened woman is like, okay, I try to get safety through these things. It ain't working. So I'm open to the possibility that safety exists outside of y'all. And so when I'm asking you for these things, when I'm telling you this is what I need, when you don't show up for me and I'm making threats, I'm not just talking. This is not a strategy to get you to wake up and decide that I'm worth it, right? No, I'm actually going to be on my way out if this doesn't change. So, you know, just like in the 12-step programs, they talk about how admitting you have a problem is the first step towards change. If you don't think that there's a problem, if you think everything is how it's supposed to be or how it's always going to be, then you're going to continue in that cycle. And so the awakened woman has finally realized, okay, wait, something's up. Something's not working. And even if everybody else around me feels like this is normal, this is not normal for me. And it's time for me to move forward. So this is the awakened woman. The third level is the surrendered woman or the surrendering woman. So this is a woman who she's already woken up. She's already realized, okay, these other people, these other situations, this self-medicating, this avoiding behavior, trying to be over-controlled and be by myself is not getting me the safety, the security, the love, the connection that I want. I thought I could either push it down to where I never needed it again, or I thought that I can kind of coerce other people, manipulate the environment, manipulate other people, manipulate myself to be okay with what's going on. And that didn't happen, right? And so I woke up to there being a problem, and now I am putting action in place. So all the people, all the things, all the situations that have not been serving me, I'm clearing those babies out. This is where I'm more likely to be doing no contact. This is where I'm starting to cut contact with people who end up being frenemies, with people who are not actually true for me. This is where I'm starting to reorganize all the relationships that I have in my life. I'm starting to reorganize the boundaries with my family. And the surrendering is because you're surrendering to the truth that was hard for you or impossible for you to keep things at status quo, to not rock the boat, for you to get what you want. You know, the stuck woman, something I didn't say at first with the stuck woman is things like no contact aren't even on the table. Again, coming with like, you know, there's just a big disassociation from that because she wants to negotiate with staying friends with an ex or staying friends with someone who is unavailable or this fairy tale that is going to work out or they just need some space, but she's not really going to, you know, go back to them because she doesn't need them. But all she's really doing is just biding her time until hopefully she gets a text or she gets to play hard to get because it's, you know, just the whole cycle, the whole love addictive, love avoidant cycle, as those two people find each other often, is just foreplay. It's foreplay just for you to get back into the same cycle. So when people think that they are giving someone a hard time, right? We've done this back and forth thing for a while. We've done the situationship thing for a while, making them supposedly work for it. The breakup cycle is part of your dance together. And that dance is intoxicating. It feels romantic. The rush, the euphoria of it, if there's secret keeping that's going on in case there's a third party, whether or not you're the third party or whether or not you have a third party that's in the mix, whether or not you know if you're the wife or the girlfriend or whoever it may be, you know, there's this romanticizing of this really deep, painful dysfunction that is happening because there's a hope and a belief that there's going to be a happily ever after on the other side, in spite of the damage that it's doing to your self-worth, to your own image, to your finances, your career, your sexuality, your trust in other people, your trust in love, because again, the person is the prize. Proximity to this person is the prize. Proximity to this relationship is what's going to make you feel safe instead of seeing that this is deeply flawed. And you're also very resistant to hearing that and receiving that. The surrendering woman ain't got time for that anymore. She is, again, tired of being sick and tired. So she is rerouting all of her relationships. So this is the stage that a lot of my students enter into once we start working together. You know, they come in level two, where there's something going on and, you know, I'm trying to tell people what I want. And now I'm starting actually to pay attention that they're not actually changing. I'm noticing that the apologies are coming often without the action behind it or that there's no apology at all. I am noticing that I want something more and the ways I'm trying to repress my needs and my connection to myself ain't working anymore. So I need something or someone to help me break out of the cycle. So my students come to me and then they enter into student level three, the surrendering woman. And this is where there's a lot of pain that happens because you are shifting everything in your life. You are letting go of relationships that you kind of had a feeling you're going to have to let go, that you were not excited about, that is probably very painful, a lot of trauma-bonded relationships. You're having to grieve a lot of fantasies of who you thought someone would be and what you thought would work out for you and not, and that's real grief. That's painful grief, you know? And unlike before where you used to be able to just nurture that fantasy because that fantasy is what kept you up, kept you warm at night, you know, the relationship and life wasn't going the way that you wanted it to, but at least I have this hope, right? And this is what you would nurse, and this is what you would try to help grow. And that's why you would act the ways that you did in real life, or settle, or not show up in your boundaries, or just kind of go with what was around you, or to not ask for anything at all and just try to take care of yourself. But here you're like, that doesn't keep me warm at night anymore. And part of me is like, it kind of makes me kind of sick to think about, and actually makes me more sad to think about, because this is something that I built my hopes and my dreams on. And this is something that I really wanted to be different. And I'm going through my grief process and realizing that it can't be different. This is when my students, you know, they come in to work on one thing and then they find out that wherever you go, there you are. And the reason why I say that phrase, wherever you go, there you are, is most likely the main relationship or main place in your life that you thought was the main culprit and everything else was fine. You start to realize that, you know, it's almost like your life is a plate of dinner, and you thought all the food was in separate compartments, but they're all touching each other. They're all connected. Or better yet, you thought it was waffles, but it's actually a plate of spaghetti. And everything is intertwined, and everything has all these places that it connects, and they're all tangled together. And so for you to change one part of your life means that the other parts of your life end up changing as well, because you're probably bringing other dysfunctional patterns of codependency, of avoidant behaviors, of martyrdom, sacrificing yourself, of your own anger, of your own bitterness. You're probably bringing that in multiple areas of your life, ignoring or not able to see red flags. You thought it was just romantic partnerships, but come and find out there are some friendship relationships that have actually been pretty destructive to you, or vice versa, right? And so the surrendering woman is kind of surrendering to this process. She has no choice but to keep going, because she knows that what happened before, what she had before, ain't it, right? It's like, I may not quite know what is ahead of me, but I know what I got right here. I don't want it. And so I have to let go of this stuff. I have to get it out of my life. So this is where I think, in my experience, there are two major areas of like very intense action for the students that I work with, or at least in the process that I help women with. And this is the first stage of the action. And then the second stage is where the relief comes. So when you're in phase three, this is where you might be like, man, does this ever really get better? This really sucks. Like, I'm really sad. I'm feeling things I haven't felt in a long time. I thought that once I let these people go, I would be really free. But, you know, the things that people have said and done to you, you got to work through that. You got to heal that. And also, you have to learn how to separate that their behaviors do not equate to your worth. You've always been amazing. You've always been beautiful. You've always been worthy. You just haven't seen it yet. You've had all these people and things that have been getting in the way that have stopped you from reaching your best potential, that have stopped you from being able to receive the love and everything that you want. And so this is really just a cleansing stage of your life. This is where you're literally detoxing from all the folks and things that have been keeping you down. And there's a release to it. You know, it's painful. But at the same time, and like I said, I mean, my students, I've never had, in all my years, I have never had someone who has said, I wish I could go back to being in that same space, ever, ever. But they had to choose when they're actively in this stage versus being even in the stuck woman phase, where they're kind of oblivious to, you know, that there's actual work that they can do, and they were with their unavailable partner or their narcissist. They are more in touch now with how painful that was, with how much of themselves they had to forget and lose. And here they're free. Finally, I'm free, right? And I might not like that I have to work through all this stuff to change my mindset and change how I show up, but at least I have me now, and I didn't have me before. And so that happens when you first start this process. But then the second stage, or the level four, phase four, but when you're really putting in all this work, this is the evolved or the evolving woman, okay? So you're still putting in work, right? You're still renegotiating boundaries and everything, but you are having more happy, joyful days than not. You are feeling optimistic. You are feeling connected to yourself. You believe in yourself. Again, if part of your grieving process was feeling like you weren't good enough, or feeling as if things weren't going to go well for you, you are seeing, not only are you seeing the light, but the sun is shining more. You have more bright and happy days. Now your freedom is not just that I don't have these big giant bags of people and their issues that have been weighing me down, stopping me from taking flight. So someone has untied the lassos and the rope from my ankles. And now I'm able to move around freely. Now it's not just those bags and those weights are taken from your ankles and taken and relieved from your hands. Now you're actually flying. Now you're actually starting to go higher and higher and higher. And you're starting to, again, have more confidence in yourself, starting to dream more, starting to believe in the things that were hard for you to believe in before. You're actually building relationships. So if there are any relationships that you had to let go of as a surrendered woman or surrendering woman, you're finding more people who are on your vibe, Right, you're finding locations that fit for you. You're finding different jobs that fit for you. You are actually stepping into your own. You're finding relationships that fit better for you. You're starting to normalize connecting to people and not rushing if you're a love addict to making them the one in your head. And even if you do, you're learning to kind of temper that. You are connecting to other people for resources and support and not feeling like you have to do everything on your own. And so you are truly growing and evolving and scaling, and I love that for you. This is where most of my clients would describe their feeling of being very euphoric, feeling as if they have their life back, and also access to other people. So I used to say this more when I first started the podcast, and I don't really say this as much now, but it's still true. What I find happens with a lot of people who go through their own version of their healing process is they do this self-love detox, where they kind of separate themselves from all these people and all these things, and they just focus on their relationship with themselves, which I think is beautiful. You know, finding out what you like and what you don't like and learning how to be by yourself and be in connection with yourself is truly valuable. However, if you do not learn how to also connect to other people on the outside, or identify who's healthy and unhealthy for you, identify who's available and who's not, and also be able to receive the love that you've probably been craving for, the connection and intimacy that you've been craving for, what's going to happen when you exit this cocoon with safety is that you haven't really developed the social skills to, one, determine who's unavailable and not available, to actually want people to be in your space, right? It still feels, especially if you struggle with avoidance, you still struggle with feeling very overwhelmed by people. It's hard for you to trust people. It's hard for you to decipher what's their intentions and not. It might still be easier for you to connect to people who are unhealthy for you, because a lot of times unhealthy people tend to always be super available. Securely attached people may be available, but it takes time for them, for their relationships to grow. It takes time of getting to know each other, because there's appropriate boundaries, there's appropriate levels of intimacy that they may have. Even in a fast friend, you know, you're still mutually growing trust in each other. But an unavailable person, they're available to spend all times of day and night with you, talk to you about everything, bond with you via trauma, and you think that this person is super emotionally aware and available, but really they don't really have any type of internal limit. And so what begins very fast and heavy will crash very fast and heavy often. And so when you do a self-love detox only as your only way of working through these issues, your intimacy disorder issues, it's harder for you to actually attach to people as your bright, shining self, because sometimes you are still attracted to relationships that require too much of you, that expect you to overgive, that expect you to show up and hide yourself. And that turns you off, right? And so it's easier for you to say, you know what, forget that. Forget people. I'm just going to focus on me. Or people who may get you very excited and you think that your self-love detox has really proven that it works, because now you're meeting people who are really nice and healthy and available and everything, but come to find out they are a wolf in sheep's clothing, or they are very nice, but they have a whole lot of unresolved trauma that's just too much for you to bear, or too much for the relationship to bear. And that in itself, even when it's a good person and a good heart, that's really disappointing, right? That's why I'm doing this masterclass too, to talk about how to not get duped, deceived, or gaslit into thinking someone's the one, because it's not always malicious. Sometimes it really is you learning how to assign and pick different people. And if your only ways of living in a world where you've been safe, it's a phase everybody out, then it's going to be really hard for you to know how to show up in the world and still be your full self without having to be in defense, and also learning how to receive. Right? Learning how to receive and feel safe with the right people for you to practice that with. So that is level 4. Let's talk about level 5. And then after that, I'm going to talk about what each of these levels deal with when it comes to people who are the dupers, the deceivers, the people who are, you know, maybe look very good on the outside, but maybe have some things going on in the inside. So the last stage, stage number 5, is the healed and loved woman, of course, right? Like, that is where we are all growing into and growing into embodying. You know, we are already deserving of love. We're already amazing as we are, but it's us learning how to see it and to own it and to accept it. it and again, embody it everywhere we are. So she has a very deep connection with herself. A lot of times, if you have had any kind of distance from your spirituality or some type of rebirth and everything, this is where it may resurface. And this is across the board, you know, and this doesn't mean it has to be in any major religious belief, but for you to be connected to yourself and your intuition and your body and your soul and your sensuality and your deep desires and your pleasure, that is more than just a mental, logical thing. For you to be fully embodied and connected to all the magic that is you, that is spiritual. And so whether or not spiritual for you means Buddhism or Christianity or Islam or Judaism, or if it means just being spiritual woo, you know, according to some folks, or more African traditions and spiritualities, or just you're connected to quantum physics in the universe. And, you know, that is your connection. But usually I find that a lot of women who are in this stage are deeply connected to their source, whatever that source is, because they're so connected to themselves. They are really able to trust themselves. They are able to trust their emotions without judging their emotions. They're able to be in contact with other people without really judging them as well. But they're very clear what their boundaries are. They understand that other people are in charge of their own feelings and their own emotions. But that is different, y'all. That is different than being defensive, right? So I think especially in earlier stages, especially if you're someone who tends to be a people pleaser, or you tend to be someone who people trying to control you is absolutely not what's going to happen. And that happens again, whether or not you were always someone who gave up your power and control to other people, or if you're a stronger personality that never let anybody do this, you for damn sure aren't going to start now, right? At this stage, whichever one you're in earlier stages, you might be establishing your boundaries and being very clear about that, but there's still kind of this protective energy. You kind of want to get ahead of it before someone can hurt you and someone can harm you. So you're a little bit more proactive with it, because you have to like set the standard so that no one gets you effed up. Right. And, whether or not you say it out loud, that's still your energy behind it. The healed and loved woman, she is so, her boundaries are so embodied inside of her that she can allow herself to be in connection and be in partnerships and trust that if anyone or anything comes around her that is not what she wants, that she can easily dismiss them. So she might still be a very strong personality, but that type of hypervigilance is not her main source of making sure that no one crosses her boundaries. It again, it's more intrinsic. It's more coming from a place of security versus I have to stay ready so I don't have to get ready, if that makes sense.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors. As our country continues to grow and make new meaning of the intersection between current and historical events, it is so important to stay connected to the voices and the leaders who are influencing what progress, connection, equality, and truth mean to us as Black people. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection from some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
With that said, a lot of her focus, so in previous stages, a lot of the focus was on kind of reclaiming herself and finding out who she is and what she wants and what she needs and you know, being selfish in a lot of ways, maybe especially if she never was able to choose herself or create her own independence or create her own space and whatever her family or relationship makeup is, starting to enjoy her company and knowing that her voice is okay, that it's okay for her to have needs. You know, she's fought all these fights. And so at this stage, in the previous stage, in a level 4, she was learning how to build relationships and attach and everything. But now her focus, because she's pretty clear on who she is. She's not perfect, but she's pretty clear on who she is. A lot of her focus is on building intimacy with other people, learning how to not only receive from other people, but to be available to them as well. Learning what mindsets have I had that have stopped me from being able to be a good partner to other people. I've been so focused on making sure that I find good partners to me. How can I be a good partner to other people? And this is a very important stage. And, you know, I think if you are in earlier stages, you have struggled with love addiction, your thought may be, the problem was I was too available to these people. I gave them too much, right? But in that, and being a people pleaser and being a codependent and being a love addict, you weren't showing your full self. You were showing a representative. You were giving them who you thought that they wanted you to be. You were still living in a mask. What, even though it was sacrificial and even though it was you, you know, trying to attend to them, it still wasn't the real you. The real you never actually got to show up. The real you with your real wants and needs and full embodiment, right? And so your selfishness didn't really get to show up. Your anger issues didn't get to show up. Your entitlement didn't get to show up because the prize was proximity. The prize was trying to get the person to stay around and be with you, right? And so now, in this stage, now, okay, I'm clear on me. I am not as prone to have these defense mechanisms. And when I do, I'm so clear on kind of calling myself on it. And or I have people around me. I have my coach or my therapist or my friends. Like, I have trusted people that are also healthy as well that I can talk to who are going to reflect back to me the truth of what's going on. So I have to deal with myself. And so now when there's problems in these relationships, because hopefully, not hopefully, if you're at this stage, you're attaching to people who are healthy, right? Who are also perfectly imperfect people who are working on their own things. But at the end of the day, you're two different people who have your own set of norms and values and what you think is right and what you think love looks like and what you think friendship looks like and what they think that friendship and love looks like. And so those are going to clash. And so this is where you are really perfecting, one, not running, two, learning how to anticipate other people's needs, three, walking towards those needs and providing them, humbling yourself while still not forgetting yourself, not slipping back into people-pleasing, love-addictive boundaries. And, you know, I think this is the stage that many of us try to get to, but all the trauma that goes before stops us from being able to do that because everything I just listed is so scary. For most of us, it is very new. It feels the opposite of what we want. Being super vulnerable and exposed in front of people is incredibly terrifying because at the core of all this is the fear of being abandoned and rejected. So if I'm going to fully lay myself bare and initiate being available to you and initiate saying I'm sorry to you and initiate being kind to you when you haven't earned it yet, which by the way, y'all, is a trauma response. If any of you do that, where you can't be nice to your partner until they prove that they deserve to be loved, that's because someone did that to you. And so that's something that you need to heal because you should have never been treated that way. You should have never been as a little girl felt as if you had to earn some magical level of acceptance for someone to be kind to you and for someone to look you in the eyes and say, hey, what are you going through? What is it that you need? And so, again, we just kind of repeat these patterns a lot and feel very justified, especially depending on the folks that you're around. And I think especially us as, I'll just say, women in the community that I talk to here, a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us have not had a lot of healthy examples of healthy relationships and partnerships. So what is actually healthy negotiation and compromise and remediation and conflict communication, we have not been able to see front and center. We have seen a lot of people be self-protective and egotistical, and people who have apologized only for it to be thrown back into their face later, or for people to fake the funk and say they're going to change, but not really change. And so we learned that we can't really trust that people are going to change, and you still have to not trust them, and you still have to hold things against them, and you still have to nag them and make them pay penance for the things that have happened before. And of course, I'm not talking about big, egregious slights, but even that, you know, what is a real egregious slight versus this is based on the way that someone has traumatized and hurt me before. And because this pain is so old and it goes so deep, it feels very strong. And so I'm trying to get someone to fix something or to pay for something or to heal something that started way before them. So there's no amount of what they give me that's going to make me actually trust them or feel safe because it didn't start with them. And I think that's part of what we kind of miss when it comes to being love addicts is there can still be a part of you that's waiting for one real life to start once you're in partnership, waiting for real love to come, no matter how many loved ones and friends and people you have around you, still feeling as if you don't have access to real love. And three, hoping that this real love one day is going to be the thing that fixes you. But in this stage, and what you find is that commitment, relationships, especially with healthy people, a healthy person is going to call you on your shit. A healthy person is going to have boundaries. A healthy person is also going to have their own prerequisites for love. It's not just, I'm picking you up and I'm hiring you to take care of me for life. You know, when you're in a mutual beneficial relationship, y'all are both partnering to be each other's person, to take care of each other. And of course, and finding that balance between you are absolutely the one that's most in charge of your feelings and taking care of yourself, for sure. And if I'm deciding to partner with this other person in this intimate way, I'm not hiring an employee who I punish and fire and dock their pay when they are not doing what I want them to do exactly when I want them to do it. It can feel that way. And especially, you know, it can be very hard to be nice 24/7 with someone if you're living together with them and you're going through life and you're going through death and money issues and issues and sickness and kids being all up in your face. You know, you're not going to be a perfect person all the time, but to the point of being a healed and loved woman is you being able to be clear about what is your part and owning your part and still communicating your needs, right? There's no self-abandonment here. And when there needs to be correction, you do it. And when there needs to be your voice, correction of yourself or other people, you do it. But you're living mostly in a place of contentment because you have yourself. You're understanding your true source of love and connection and healing. And because of that, you're actually getting more access to love. You're actually getting more access to love, to friendships, to freedom, to sex, to pleasure, to all the things that you wanted at this stage by you getting reconnected to yourself. And it's wild. It's where all the things that people may have said and talked about before actually start to click and make sense. But you only know this by going through the stages. These are things that people can physically tell you, and your brain can try to logically comprehend, but it's not until you're connected to your body and connected to your full self that you can actually walk in this. Okay. But of course you get glimpses of it. And also when I wrote out this, let me actually tell y'all this part right here. When I was writing out these stages, I wanted to be very clear that there's no stage outside of maybe being the stuck woman, but even that I'm about to give their redeeming quality here. Each one of these stages has their own gems and gold in them. There's not one stage that's really better than the other, even though me describing them, there's probably one that's a more obvious choice for you, depending on where you are right now, that you would rather be in than the one that you're in now, if you're not at one of the higher levels right now. But there's still gifts and there's still joy. Again, your life does not start tomorrow. You have life today. So when I was making this, fleshing out this framework, which is long. It's like I'm looking at it right now. It's actually 12 pages worth of just all the different milestones and stages and things that people need to go through. And, you know, I'm going to be talking more about the healed and loved woman and how to move through these stages in the future. I'm going to talk about this as well at the masterclass, which is why you want to be at the masterclass, because there will be a Q&A as well. But as I wrote this, one of the little rows that I have here is titled Stage Gifts, because I want you to know that there's a gift at each stage. So for level one, the stuck woman, she has the gift of opportunity. For level two, the awakened woman, she has the gift of empowerment. For level three, the surrendered or the surrendering woman, she has the gift of clarity. For level four, the evolving or the evolved woman, she has the gift of thriving. For level five, the healed and loved woman, she has the gift of freedom. So opportunity for the stuck woman, she still has the opportunity to make a change at any time. Even though the title is stuck, she is only trapped by her own mind, not because she actually is disempowered to make a change at any time that she wants to. She always has opportunity right in her hands, right at her fingertips. It's never left her. No matter how deeply in love she feels with this person, no matter how much time she feels like has passed and she's missed her chance, it is always available. It never runs out. And so at any time, she can change her life. So that is an amazing gift to know that she has always had the power to change her life because that's something she's been trying to get from everybody else, right? Level two, the awakened woman has a gift of empowerment. So she's taken the opportunity and now she's realizing, hey, I don't have to take this actually. Actually, I can call this out. Actually, I can stop negotiating with breadcrumbs that have been given to me before. And so stepping into herself is incredible and realizing that she's the change agent. You know, once you get to that level, it's really hard to go back. It's really hard. Once you wake up, you can't go back to these levels of blindness. So when I said earlier, I've never met any one of my students who has ever said, I wish I could go back to what I used to do before. What has been the closest thing is like, dang, now that I'm in relationships and in friendships and healing, like I can't unsee these things. Like, damn, like I wish I didn't have to see these things, but that's different than them saying, man, I wish I could go back and be taken advantage of. That none of them want that. But sometimes being able to kind of, you know, because sometimes you get tired of being on the clock when it comes to healing, so to speak, of being so aware of things that it's hard to make dumb mistakes anymore because you're not dumb anymore. And not to say anyone's been dumb is probably a better word that I can say, but you know, there were things that you were unaware of, maybe ignorant of, and I say that in the most redeeming way, but you're not anymore. And so you can't just talk to the guy at the bar and just act like you don't see the red flags that are just dangling in your face. Like it's like, dang, I can't even. If I go home with you, it's because I'm choosing to go home with you, not because it just happened, right? And so you have more empowerment there, but you also have more responsibility. The gift for level three, the surrendering woman, is clarity. So she is crystal clear. Like she is getting clarity on who are the people who are around her, who are the frenemies, who are the snakes, who are the healthy people, who are the people that she probably needs to be letting go of so that she can make way for the healthy ones. What are the self-medicating behaviors as well? I didn't really emphasize this when I talked about level three, but what are the self-medicating behaviors that have not been helping her as well? And so she's cutting all that stuff out. So she's getting a lot of clarity without all these distractions, without all these things in the way, with her trying to kind of piecemeal or tie together with rope and string her own recovery process and working through this and still keeping everybody else around. So she gets a lot of clarity. The evolving woman gets her the ability to thrive, right? So like I said, the sun is shining. She has herself. Things may not be perfect, but man, I feel like I can breathe. I feel like the air is cleaner now. I feel as if my eyes are open. I feel like I can sleep better now. It's like her life is just feels like it is in full bloom. And it just gets even better in level five, the level of freedom. So last year, I talked about, I think I called it the four seasons of healing. And I talked in that episode where basically there may be some area in your life, some kind of either personality or character issue or thing that you might consider a weakness. And I talked about how you might go through four seasons of winter, spring, summer, fall, as you're healing from that and what it may feel like in your body. So at this stage is where you'll really be able to feel it, right? Because you've worked through all these stages and it doesn't mean you're perfect. So you might be more connected to yourself, more connected to your self-esteem, more connected to other relationships, but you might still have some edges of you that struggle with trust. So the way you struggled with trust a year ago or 5 years ago, you've mastered that, but there's even more deeper levels that you can go. Right. And so you're just constantly growing and evolving through those different seasons there. So, but you have a more of a foundation of self-acceptance and self-love. And again, this freedom to where you can work through these stages. They're not super comfortable, but you're not as connected to this meaning that you're a failure, that you're undeserving, or you're not enough, or that I have to go and hide from people now because this is too hard. You know, you're able to find that balance of owning all these different truths at the same time. So, as promised, I told y'all there was a lot to talk about with that. As promised, let's talk about what each of these stages of women look like, or what happens for them when they meet someone who is unavailable. If you are listening to the podcast and if you are enjoying it and you haven't rated the podcast before, I would love if you would give a 5-star review. This is really aligning with you so that other people can find the podcast and hear, you know, hopefully what they have felt be put into words and to let them know that there is hope available for them in this healing process. And it doesn't always have to be this way. And that they actually have more power in their hands than maybe they thought that they did. And of course, share with others who you feel like may need this as well. And I'll always appreciate your shares and helping this podcast grow. So for each of these stages, if they were to be approached or be in the vicinity of an unavailable person who wants to be a romantic partner, an unavailable romantic prospect, here's how each of the different levels would respond and engage with this type of person and what they could expect. For the step woman, she is going to refuse no contact with this person because remember, proximity to this person is the prize. What she feels like she wants to be chosen, to be seen, to feel safe, to feel like in rapture, to be craved, to have sexual pleasure, to have financial security, whatever it may be, proximity to this person is the prize. And so she will not see the red flags or see them and literally not care. Like it won't be strong enough for her to want to do something different because this person is what's going to make me feel better. I just know if I'm connected to them, I know if we are intimate, I know if I can get around them, make them choose me for whatever, whether or not they're choosing them over, you know, exes from their past or over their job or whatever it may be, that they are going to feel so much better and it's going to fix whatever's on the inside. And so she's going to just embrace it because she's addicted to the thrill of it and that false sense of safety and security. Level 2, the awakened woman. She's going to realize that what this unavailable person is giving and showing is not good enough. The proximity to this person is no longer the prize. However, she may not actually cut it off completely. She's woken up. So now she's actually using her voice to ask for what she wants or demand what she wants. And so, which is great because before, if she did use her voice, it was just a manipulation tactic. Again, there was no teeth behind it, or she didn't really say it at all. She tried to become needless and wantless and kind of go with the flow. Now she's asking. However, she is still connected more to this person having the power because she's fighting with them. So, you know, saying, well, this is my requirements and this is what I want, and you're not stepping up for me, and like wasting a whole lot of energy talking to someone, trying to get someone to change, trying to get them to feel bad for not showing up the way that she want them to, trying to really convince that you're about to lose me. Like, doesn't it make you upset that you're about to lose me? Not understanding that this person actually considered you to be someone that they wanted to change for, they would have done that already. And that's not the same as you are not worth being fought for. It's, again, we're starting off with someone who's already unavailable. And a lot of times we will try to take someone who is showing us all the signs that they're not who and what we want and be like, I can change them. Or Like, I'm just going to entertain something that already is below my standards because you might not actually have the standards that you're deserving of. You may, I'm not going to say that you don't have standards, but you don't realize how good it can get. And so you're using your voice, but you're also using a lot of energy in places that are probably better for you to walk away from. And so you still haven't tapped fully into all of your power yet, which comes in the next level, the surrendering woman. So the surrendering or the surrendered woman is like, ain't got time for that. She's in her no crumbs era. She is, I'd rather be without than entertaining this BS. And so she's cutting off all the people who do not deserve her. If she has not already started no contact, this is probably where she will start. So a dupe worthy person cannot even get close to her because she is over trying to find this type of connection in relationships. You know, this might be where she is in her big sabbatical phase, and she's doing it for herself. She's very much tired of the BS. And so, but at the same time, she can be honest about the fact that there is some loneliness for her, but she might be more in touch with the fact that it's not as much romantic loneliness, but just companionship. Because remember, she's detoxing and cleansing a lot of relationships. It might not just be romantic. It could be her friendships. It could be her family. And so she's restructuring, right? But she's not letting anyone in her life that is disturbing her peace. The evolving woman may entertain an unavailable person at first, and stay with me now, because right, she's gone through all this process, right? Like she's learning about different skills, she's learning how to connect. This is literally the things that I take people through in all my programs and workshops. So if you ever hear me talk about something that you're like, that's me, you need to come, because I'm teaching you how to apply this in your everyday life. I'm very much about making this practical and not just talking in the abstract. And so come, ask good questions, get your life. But the evolving woman, she has more boundaries. She has more connection to who she is, right? She's more clear on what she wants, and she's a different person than she was three levels before. However, she is still learning to negotiate what is the difference between a red flag that's dangerous and a preference. Because remember, her standards used to be so low, like people talk about the bar being in hell. You know, her standards are so low, she's still trying to figure out, okay, what is bare minimum? What is zero, right? What is the way that every person who's a romantic partner prospect is supposed to treat me, right? Like, what's the standard for us to even go on a date? And then, what is the standard after that? And so, you know, all of this is a constant learning and relearning what works for her. She may be listening to a lot of different people, a lot of different teachers, a lot of different examples to figure out and trying things on to figure out what fits for her and what doesn't. So at the beginning, if an unavailable person comes up to her, she might give it a chance because she's trying to figure out, okay, is this me? Like, wait, is this my trauma coming out and I'm judging someone because this is different and this is outside of my type, or what I'm being triggered with is more of my own stuff? Because remember, she's more in touch with her feelings and her emotions now, right? So she's more emotionally aware. So is this me for me to own, or is this my discernment? And so she has to go through that stage to kind of figure out which is which, because she's trying to learn how to be responsive to her environment versus reactive. And that can be very hard. This is where we can be a lot quicker to cut people off. And especially if you have worked on all these things to try to be more open to intimacy and relationships, and if you tend to have in your past had more avoidant relationships or being very quick to cut people off, you're slower to cut people off. And so sometimes that can be frustrating because you want to make sure that you don't get got. You want to make sure that you don't waste your time in a relationship with someone who doesn't deserve you. You want to make sure that you're optimizing all of your energy and everything. And so sometimes it could be easy to have this super stringent, you know, you can't even talk to me unless you act like this and look like this. But what you realize, especially as a healed and loved woman, which is coming next, is that you got to allow people to be who they are and understand that your safety stays in yourself and abundance is in your control. If you think that you don't have time, if you think that you are, that pickings are slim, if you think whatever, whatever, that is going to affect your process. It's going to make your process of connecting with other people feel more harried are hurried and feel, yeah, and harried too. I think that's also the word that means stressful. And if not, I just said what I meant. So give me some grace. But it's going to make this process just really hard for you, harder for you as you're learning to rebuild and connect to people in a different way. So yes, and I just say that, y'all, if you are, especially if you're one of my students and we're working together, and you might start to talk to someone and you're like, oh, I don't know if I need to bring this to Sheena. Bring it to me, girl. Let's talk about it. And I'm going to work with you for wherever you are. And some of you, especially those of you who worked with me before, there are many of you who have come to me with what you thought were red flags and cut off things. And I'm like, okay, let's re-examine this. Let's re-examine if this is actually a deal breaker or if this is your own fear of attachment, fear of abandonment, your need to over-control people. Is this actually reflecting some of your own perfectionism that you put onto other people? And so really it's about you learning how to heal yourself so that you can be kinder to yourself and not hold yourself to such high standards while still practicing self-love so you can correctly see other people for where they are, right? So relationships are always, always, always going to be a mirror. Last stage, this woman, the healed and loved woman, this person may be very attracted to her because she's glowing, right? But she is not available for substandard. But she may not live in this, kind of defensive posture where the walls are so up to where even people who are available can't get to her. Because she is like, I know who I am and I know what I want. And if you aren't coming with X, Y, Z, you can't even talk to me, right? Because she has embodied love and she is walking in love. And that doesn't mean that she's a fairy princess floating on a cloud. I think some of us, the ways that our feminine archetypes may show up, that is exactly how we're going to be. But she is just so self-possessed to where she doesn't have to live again in hypervigilance, right? She's able to assess with neutrality what's in front of her and decide from a place of fulfillment and wholeness. Do I want this? Okay, I'll go. Do I not want this? No, that's okay. I'll pass, right? And she keeps going in her life without being triggered by all these things that are low-key kind of beneath her, right? Like she's on to bigger, better things, and she's on to more high vibe, more intimate, deeper relationships. And so all this kind of petty stuff, she doesn't really have time for it, you know? She's more selective about the things that she will allow herself, if she does, allow herself to stress about and put a lot of energy into instead of everything stressing her out and attributing meaning to it, okay? Again, I talked as well about at this stage, she's more about, okay, once I find the person or people that I want to connect with, how am I showing up for my best self? How am I showing up not only as my best self for me, but to show up as a good partner for them now with my newly learned skills of learning how to not self-abandon while still being available to somebody? And that's an ongoing stage in the course of four seasons of healing. Okay? So that was a lot again, y'all. That was a lot. This is one of the ones that you bookmark and you come back to and you share with other people. But for y'all who are like, okay, this is great, and I want to learn more. I want to know how to pick people who are more healthy for me at each of these stages, right? I talked about what this may look like, but I didn't have time. Look at the time, y'all. Didn't have time as quick as I was talking to talk about what this looks like practically, right? And what some of these qualifiers are for you to make sure that you are on the right track and to show up as your best self. And also to talk more about these stages. Because again, all I share with y'all is like the first row in this framework, which makes it really exciting because I've thought about teaching the way that I help women heal from love addiction, love avoidance for a while to other practitioners and healers, but I never thought I could get it out on paper. So the fact that I've gotten it out on paper fully and not just in my brain is incredible. I never thought I could do this. And so, but yeah, this is just a sliver of what is available and what we're going to be digging into. So join me at the masterclass on Tuesday, April 23rd. at 6:30 p.m. CST. Again, it is free. You can go to blackgirlsheal.org/masterclass. And at the masterclass, we are going to be learning about red flags. We're going to be learning about these different stages. We're going to learn why it gets hard for you to choose healthier people sometime, learning how to practice self-forgiveness, and then, of course, a Q&A at the end. Okay? So that's it, y'all. I'm sending you all so much love, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.